I want you to listen to these words from the book of the Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter, and verses 4 through 15. And this is from the Message. It says this: as they went from town to town, a lot of people joined in and traveled along. He addressed them using this story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Some of it fell on the road, and it was trampled down, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell in the gravel. It sprouted, but withered because it didn't have good roots. Other seed fell in the weeds, and the weeds grew with it and strangled it. Other seed fell in rich earth and produced a bumper crop. Are you listening? Really listening? The disciples asked, "Why do you tell stories?" And he said, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. There are others who need stories, but even with stories, some of them aren't going to get it. Their ears are open, but don't see a thing. Their ears are open, but don't hear a thing." And this story is about some of those people. The seed is the Word of God. The seeds on the road are those who hear the Word, but no sooner do they hear it than the devil snatches it away, and they won't believe and be saved. The seeds in the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. And the moment that there's trouble, it's gone. And the seeds that fell in the weeds, well, those are the ones who hear, but then the seed is crowded out and nothing comes of it. As they go about their lives worrying about tomorrow, making money, and having fun. But the seeds in the good earth, those are the good hearts who hear the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Now, you've probably heard this story and heard sermons from it 100 times. We all know it. And so there's probably nothing new that we can learn from it. We hope maybe that there is. I grew up on a farm in southwest Kentucky, a small farm. And one of the things that we had to do occasionally was to reseed the pastures. Now, between our house and the barn, there was a well-worn, hard path in the ground. And on the farm, we had two creeks. Creeks. A creek is something you get when you can't turn your neck. But two creeks. And there was also a large plum thicket. I don't know whether you know what a plum thicket is. Some of you may do, may know. But anyway, when I went out to sow, reseed the pasture, if I sowed on the ground, on the path to the barn, or in the creek, or in the plum thicket where nothing would grow, the conversation that my father would have with me about that would be enlightening and painful. So you can count on that. And when I think of this story, there's two or three things that come to mind. First of all, the farmer who sowed the seed must have been pretty cheap because he didn't have to pay or didn't pay any attention at all to where it went. He just scattered it out and let the wind take it wherever it went, it wanted to go. So either the seed was cheap or he was pretty careless, and it could have been maybe a little bit of both because he didn't pay any attention to where he was sowing. Either that or maybe finally not only was the seed, maybe the seed didn't belong to him. Maybe it wasn't his seed. But Jesus had an explanation of this story, and an explanation that also comes for us. And he put this spin on it when he said, the seed is the word of God. So if we're the farmers, and the seed is the word of God, we can forget everything that I said before. Because for one thing, we know the seed was not cheap. It came at a price. And that price was the death of God's Son on the cross. The seed is not cheap. The farmer wasn't careless either. It really, and this is important, it really does not matter where the seed falls. It should not be our concern when we sow this seed, the word of God. We should not be concerned with where it falls. Our concern is that the seed is sown. Now, if that's the way it is, and we are to be generous with the sowing, then the next question, and probably the most important question of all, is what kind of seed are we sowing? What kind of seed are we sowing? And we need, when we consider that question, to ask ourselves, are we sowing the seed that really reflects the Word of God? Are we sowing seeds of faith instead of doubt? Are we sowing seeds of hope and not seeds of despair? Are we sowing seeds of forgiveness or grudge? Are we sowing seeds of love and not seeds of hate? What kind of seeds are we sowing? I have a couple of stories that I want to tell that go along with this question. Now, the first one is a true story. Well, actually, they're both true stories. But one comes from a friend of ours in Norfolk, Virginia, a girl that we've known since she was an infant. And she's now grown and a mother. She has a daughter named Meredith. And when Meredith was 4 years old, her dog, Abby, died. Meredith had known Abby since she was an infant. And when Abby died, Meredith was sad. And the day after Abby died, Rachel found Meredith crying. And Meredith said that she missed Abby. And she asked, is Abby in heaven? And Rachel said, I'm sure that he is, but... Meredith asked if she could write a letter to God to be sure, to find out where Abby was. And Rachel agreed, so Meredith dictated this letter. I want to read it. Dear God, will you please take care of my dog? She died yesterday and is with you in heaven. I miss her very much. I'm happy that you let me have her as my dog, even though she got sick. I hope you will play with her. She likes to swim and play with balls. I'm sending a picture of her so that when you see her, you will know that she is my dog. I really miss her. Love, Meredith. So Rachel wrote the letter, and they put it in an envelope, and Meredith plastered it with stamps because she said it's going to take a lot of postage to get it from here to God in heaven. And they went to the mailbox and dropped it in, and a few days later, Meredith asked Rachel, "Do you think God got my letter?" Meredith says, "I'm sure," or Rachel says, "I'm sure that he did." And then a few days later, there was a package on their front porch, wrapped in gold paper and addressed to Meredith. And Meredith opened it, and inside was a book by Mr. Rogers called When a Pet Dies. And taped to it was the letter that Meredith had written and the copy or the picture that she had sent. And on the opposite page was this note: "Dear Meredith, Abby arrived safely in heaven. Having the picture was a big help, and I recognized her right away. Abby isn't sick anymore. Her spirit is here with me, just like it stays in your heart. Abby loved being your dog. Since we don't have our bodies in heaven, I don't have any pockets to keep your picture in, so I'm sending it back to you in this little book so that you will have something to remember Abby by. Thank you for the beautiful letter, and thank your mother for helping you write it and send it to me. What a wonderful mother you have. I picked her especially for you. I send my blessings every day, and remember that I love you very much. And by the way, I am easy to find. I'm wherever there is love. Love, God." A little thing, isn't it? Except it's not. It's a very big thing. To take the time, make the effort to try to ease the pain in a little girl's heart. Who can measure the impact that that little effort, that little act will have on that girl's life? What a seed of love was sown through that. The other story is a story Tony Campolo tells. I don't know whether you know who Tony Campolo is, but he's an inspirational speaker from Philadelphia, also a professor, I think, at Temple University in Philadelphia. But he talks about walking downtown Philadelphia one day, and he sees this bum walking toward him with a paper cup in his hand. That bum, long hair, straggly hair, dirty face, and little crumbs of food all the way in his beard. And he's holding out this cup, and Tony thinks, "Well, he's going to hit me up for some money." So he begins to feel in his pocket, see if he's got any loose change, and finds a little, puts it in his hand, gets ready to hold it out, and the guy, bum, approaches him and says, "Hey, buddy, this is good coffee. Here, take a sip." And Tony looked at the guy, and he looked at the food in his beard, and he thought to himself, I don't want to drink after him. And the guy says again, "Buddy, this is good coffee. Take a sip." So Tony took a drink, and he said, "You know, that really is good coffee." And the bum says, "I told you so." And he walked on down the street, and Tony heard him say to the next person behind him, "Hey, buddy, have a sip of this good coffee." Let me ask you a question. Who's the hero in this story? Was it Tony, who overcame his disgust or his revulsion or whatever you want to call it, at looking at the guy with all the crumbs in his beard and went ahead and took a drink of the coffee that he had already had some, he'd already drunk? I don't think it was Tony. As good as he was, I think the hero of this story was the bum who found something so good he had to share it with everybody. What kind of seed are we sowing? Are we sowing seeds of forgiveness? Are we sowing seeds of grace that extends to everyone, not just people who are like us? Are we sowing seeds of love that include those even that we don't like? Or that maybe don't like us. You see, as Christians, those seeds that we sow, that's what sets us apart. It makes us different. Not better, never better than anybody else, but different because of the seed that we sow and let it fall. Let it fall anywhere. Just get it out there. What kind of seeds are we sowing? Let's pray. Lord, the seed has been prepared and it's been given to us. All that we have to do, all that we are asked to do, is to let it go. Let the wind take it where it may, but let it be, our seed be your words and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.